residential tech jobs, lighting specialist to art residential tech jobs.
Welcome to Residential Tech Talks. I'm Jeremy Glowacki, executive editor of Residential Tech Today. On this week's podcast, Stefan Eriksson joins us from Umeå, Sweden, where he is chief marketing officer for Confitel, an innovator in video conferencing technology since 1988. The Swedish company recently introduced a new business class webcam called the Cam 10, which was designed specifically for hybrid work environments. As we all know, COVID-19 has made us more dependent on video conferencing, and a great web camera is essential. But the company is also a bit of a pioneer in audio conferencing technology. It's a category I wanted to learn more about, and for sure will be of interest to anyone in the residential tech space, as well as my fellow work-from-home professionals. Stefan, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really thrilled to be invited to your podcast.
Well, I believe this is the furthest distance that I've been able to interview someone. So how are things in Sweden today?
Yeah, this weekend was really awesome. We went out for the traditional, this time of year. It's really the winter, spring time. You can go out and do some both downhill and cross-country skiing. It was lovely. But now we expect the spring to come, really. But today it's snowing heavily. So we'll see about that when it happens, actually. Well, I'm about 1 hour flight north of Stockholm.
Okay.
In Sweden.
Well, I did a little bit of homework on Sweden. I wanted to make sure I didn't ask any silly questions that were... I read a great New Yorker article about the dreaded COVID-19, and I remembered, okay, that was the thing for a while where Sweden was experimenting with an idea and it didn't go so well on how to handle COVID. But I did learn about population density in Sweden and how the country is, the size of the country is similar to Los Angeles County, which gave me a sense of what that experiment looked like in terms of population. But we'll touch on COVID a little later when we talk about challenges for the business. I don't want to dwell on that from the top because it's a bummer, but yep. What about, let's talk about Confitel. It's an interesting spelling of a company. So just so people know which company we're talking about, K-O-N-F-T-E-L, which is a clever combination of conference and telephone and that sort of thing. Can you give me a little background on that founding in 1988 and how the company came about? It's not a fly-by-night, just started kind of company. It's been around, and we may not know as well in the U.S., but give us a little bit of that origin story.
Yeah, we're trying to change that now to make more people aware, sure. Especially in the AV industry, who we are, Confitel, and what we can offer to the and customers and also channel partners, of course. But I mean, the company kicked off with an innovation to solve a customer challenge. It was actually a local bank manager here in Umeå, northern Sweden. They built a new office, and he had a quite big meeting room. Quite often he had this phone meetings, but mm-hmm. he was so disturbed by the crappy audio. So he started to talk to some of the technicians that were involved in the the construction, and one of them was actually Peter Enkel, our current CEO and one of the two founders. So they started to look in how can we actually solve this problem. And the result came out a couple of years later, first in this room, particular room, and then a couple of years later with the first actual tabletop conference phone to reach the market. I mean, through the years, we have adapted to new network and connectivity technologies, enhanced the audio performance, and added a lot of different features and functions, of course, in the products. And then a bit more than 2 years ago, we decided really now it's time to shift into video as well, to go with our customers into video meetings. So that's what we've done. Audio is still the absolute foundation for a successful distance meeting. That's what I believe and what we argue. But video is also add another dimension and is expected by the customers. And when we have added that media into our offering, we do it with the same idea to provide good quality, I guess,
right,
for better experience in meetings.
Well, the timing couldn't have been more perfect as far as having everyone need this technology now. I do want to dive into the products, but did want to get to know you a little bit better. I'm not going to do the deep dive into your biography or CV, but I did want to know how did you link up with the company? What was your background? You're a marketing officer, so it could have been anything the way things go in marketing, but I'm sure you must have some tech background of some sort before you got to the company.
Yeah, maybe you could expect that, but actually, I mean, I haven't really had a straight career into this. I'm educated in communication. I'm not an engineer. I started working as a journalist in general media outlets, as a journalist, writing a journalist and editor, but I've always been interested in the latest technology, especially probably in audio, because I've been a hobby musician since my youth days. Then I ended up editor-in-chief for Swedish Telecoms magazine. And I stayed there for almost 14 years. Of course, I got to learn a lot about the IT and telecoms industry, various aspects, and also the market players and the dynamics of this industry. And also... went in from publishing to a broader scope, including live events and speaking at conferences and that. And in the process, I got also to know Comftel as one of the companies that we tried to cover with this magazine title. After all those years in journalism and publishing, I started to look for a change in my career. And I discussed that with a couple of people. Yeah. And one day, Peter Renkel, the CEO of Comftel, he called and wanted to discuss their challenges in marketing communications. And that is, I think, 7 years back now. So I joined them as marketing manager and now CMO.
Yeah. Well, you didn't quite join the dark side, as we say, from the journalism world, but I have been tempted myself to make that leap, and so far they keep grabbing me back to journalism.
Yeah, I fully understand what you mean. I mean, that's something I discussed with myself when I was doing this shift, I think that what I do here and now also has a purpose. It's meaningful. It's on the commercial side, but that also gives me a lot of, for my personal sake, a lot of interesting challenges and stimulates me. So
sure.
I'm happy with the shift.
That's great. That's great. I feel like I'm talking to one of my peers truly now. I typically end up talking to people who are more from that engineering side of things and having an opportunity to speak to someone who really is a writer, a journalist in their career. That's my world as well. But let's talk tech. We neither one of us will get too buried in the minutia, because that's not how we roll. But I just wanted to kind of understand more about the new products and maybe talk about the shift to the video technology and what some of the goals what the company was looking to do to innovate when you start from scratch on the video side of the video conference, video and audio conferencing.
Yeah. I mean, I think we first announced entering into video conferencing in 2018. And a bit later, we brought in, developed and brought in two USB conference cameras for different meeting scenarios. And with our already existing speaker phones, mm-hmm. those cameras, we put together video kits, also including a connection hub. To make it really simple for the users to come into a meeting room with their own laptop and just connect one USB cable and hook up to both the screen in the room and the audio device and the video camera. I think that sounds very basic, but that's actually the innovation that we started off with in this space. We took the components, the pieces already available in the market, actually, and created very simple and easy to understand video bundles for the meeting rooms of all different kind sizes, and presented this as our offering. We have seen also now some really big competitors in the market follow us in that innovation, also offering exactly this kind of set up and bring your own meeting scenario for their customers. In that sense, it was a level of innovation, even because maybe it was more an innovation in terms of how to package this and communicate it to the market than in actual the technology included. Right.
So the idea is both you could have this in your company conference room space as a opportunity for the different employees coming in to set up, or it could be a portable scenario where you bring it with you, because you said bring your own.
Yes. The bring your own in when we're talking room scenarios, that you bring your own laptop, you bring your own Mac or PC into the room, and you use that instead of having a video codec in the room.
Right. Understood.
I mean, very used these days, whatever cloud app or service we use on our laptops,
right?
To enable people to just take that experience, the well-known technology that they use every day on their own, the personal computer, to bring that into the meeting room and just hook it up very easily to the camera and audio and screen in the room,
right?
And That's what we solved with the video kits, that we have seen a huge uptake in sales for those. So it's not possible for me to give you direct numbers, but it's the video and the video bundles, it's dominating our sales today.
Well, that's great. I do want to continue talking about the video technology and get into some specifics about why a separate camera from maybe an embedded camera in a laptop. But we will continue our conversation after a short break.
This episode of Residential Tech Talks is brought to you by Ring, home security systems and smart home automation. Get protection at every corner with their intelligent security cameras, alarm systems, and video doorbells. Receive notifications when motion is detected, or check on your home anytime with Live View in the Ring app. Help keep your neighborhood safer with the Neighbors app to share information and discuss safety concerns in this hyper-local social networking platform. Ring's mission is simple: make neighborhoods safer. Discover all the smart home security products by Ring. Go to ring.com.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Stefan Eriksson, CMO of the Swedish video conferencing and audio conferencing technology manufacturer Confitel. So Stefan, I did kind of wonder when I first saw your product, the video conferencing product. Here I sit doing an interview with my Mac laptop with an embedded camera, which seems to work pretty well. And then I'm going to get a chance to try out your new Cam 10 product, I believe. Why would one choose an external camera in that scenario very specific scenario, but one that I think with a lot of people working from home may be using. What's the advantage of using that external camera?
Yeah, there are a number of reasons, I guess, to go for an external webcam, business webcam. I'm sure that a lot of users have experienced the quality of the built-in cameras and laptops not really sufficient for... I mean, today we need to be able to have also the most business-critical meetings from our home office or wherever we are. And that's typically scenarios when we want to appear on our best side and and look good in the meeting. So quality matters. And so overall quality, yes, that's a number one, I guess. But also, as for me here now, I have my laptop to the right and I have a big screen in front of me that I'm using. And if I would to use the laptop camera, you would see my profile. I don't know if I look that pretty front on, but it wouldn't be really a good one. I wouldn't be able to connect you with you looking into the camera. Right. So that's, I guess, the main reason to go for a personal webcam, a business webcam, if you have an external screen. To place a camera where it should be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have at times had dual screens, and I did have that challenge where I'm used to looking at the bigger external monitor, and then for pre-COVID days, I would switch to the, you know, have a conference situation, and I'm looking at my laptop, and my eyes just weren't used to that setup, and I get that. So, but you also have other features within your cameras, the Zoom features and things like that. Great digital Zoom opportunities that you wouldn't necessarily have on an embedded.
Yeah, that's
camera.
True. I mean, the ConvCam 10 we're talking about now, our personal device, business webcam. You have has a digital zoom feature that you can use, so it can come in handy if you want to focus a bit on narrowing down the field of view. And it also has a control app to manage some other features normally not necessary, but you can do it. That could be, different reasons to go for a business webcam. But actually, yeah, this is our most recent addition to our portfolio. But overall, we are mainly focused on the meeting rooms.
Okay.
So we have two other cameras in our portfolio, a 4K digital camera. That works also perfectly for personal scenarios, like in home office, but it's very flexible, I would say, both for the small huddle rooms and scenarios where you have to sit very close to a screen with a wide table, to be able with a wide field of view and that camera to cover everyone included in the meeting in the room. And then we have also a proper bigger PTZ camera, USB conference camera with optical zoom capabilities, with a fantastic image quality that goes from more small middle-sized room up to very large scenarios. But we see also the Cam 20, the digital 4K camera, very feasible for bigger scenarios like in classrooms. In the US, we have sold a lot into that vertical during the pandemic. So really flexible options.
Yeah, so this transition into the US market, that's very interesting to find a company that you don't know about, and perhaps because I mostly am focused on the residential channel, and maybe because of the education and the office, which is a crossover opportunity for a lot of people doing residential integration. But it's not specifically like the Infocom sort of scenario where people are focused completely on that area. What was the strategy? How's the transition been going in terms of connecting with distribution in the U.S., dealer integrators in the U.S.? What's been the strategy there so far for the company?
Yeah, our overall strategy is completely two-tier model when we go to market. So our primary customers are our distribution partners, and that also valid for North America. And so we sell our products through their network of resellers. And yes, since we went into video, we're more actively developing the relations that we have with a more AV-focused distributors and their reseller networks. So, I mean, traditionally, we are looking to have a set of distribution partners for each market to cover different segments. Traditional telecom, IT, AV, of course, now. So we need to cover all of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining trade shows, conventions, that sort of thing are part of your marketing strategy. And of course, that's been paused in the past year with COVID. What have you been able to do to adjust to that in terms of marketing? You were able to reach me, which is great. You have a PR agency in the U.S. that I know very well, and they've been great about that. What other strategies have you done in terms of continuing that visibility when you can't go to in-person events as well?
I think we've done what most companies in this industry has to increase our online visibility and presence in different ways, social platforms and channels. And we have also increased our active PR work, yes, on the global scale, actually. And of course, especially earlier in the pandemic, we did a couple of webinar series that were very well attended. Mm-hmm. We all know that it has been maybe a little bit of fatigue with the the audiences. You don't want to spend, too much time maybe joining webinars. So we had to rethink that a little bit. But I think that we are coming back pretty soon with a series of new webinars. And that's a way how we have tried to cope with the situation. We were very, from the start, worried. Mm-hmm. Worried when we had to cancel the live events, in-person events,
right,
especially in North America, like you mentioned the Infocom. Mm-hmm. Another important one for us each year has been the Enterprise Connect, big trade show, and there are a number of others also. How this would affect our business and our ability to reach new customers.
Right.
But we've seen our own sales and this market as a whole really surge during the pandemic. It has worked out fine for us. And
Well, fortunately, even though there's the fatigue with webinars, the opportunity to communicate through a video conferencing platform kind of does a little bit of your selling for you. I'd imagine the quality of your video is proof is in the pudding there as far as your company goes. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's a good way. Through at the same time, demo the product that we have.
Yeah.
And talk about the solutions and the offerings and how we see the end user behavior change and market trends and what we want to share with the audiences. I didn't mention that, but I don't know if the video will be on for this podcast in any way, but I'm using the Cam 10 now in my home office. So
yeah, it looks great. It's a very nice, soft sort of video quality that's like generous to. We haven't met before, but you look fabulous. I don't know how much lighting you're using or if it's doing all the work for you, but
actually the lighting in the room here is not optimal.
Well, it looks good. The camera's doing some work then, because I've talked to plenty of folks where there's nothing we can do with the lighting. They just look terrible in general because the room is not designed for it. But the last thing I wanted to ask you about was something that really jumped out at me, and it's a big part of your company story, and that's the climate neutral aspect of how you're producing products and how the company philosophy works in terms of reducing emissions and that sort of thing. Can you just give us an explanation about what that is all about? It's an independent nonprofit organization. I'm familiar with the climate neutral organization, but what does it take for a company to be certified for that?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. I mean, for us, we've always promoted the environmental benefits of distance meetings.
Sure.
To the ability to reduce travel and reduce emissions by that. But we came to a point where we decided we want to do something more. We started looking at our own carbon footprint and how we could do something more together with our customers. We firmly believe that this is a key issue for the future of our planet, so and also for our business. It goes hand in hand, I think. So we looked around for different opportunities how to go about this. We found the climate neutral organization and decided that we would like to try to be certified by them. And the process is that you have to start with you have to aggregate a lot of data from your own business, from all the way from manufacturing and the sourcing of material and everything included in the full chain, the manufacturing and then the distribution chain, and all the way to the resellers, and also analyzing your own internal processes in headquarters and that. And it was very interesting. We saw that the majority of our carbon footprint comes from the manufacturing and from the use of material in the products that we sell. This certification gives us really a way to deal with that. And after the aggregation of the data and you analyze and you get the result, your carbon footprint. In the certification, it's included that you need to offset those carbon with carbon, buying carbon credits.
Okay.
So you have to do that, and on top of that, also commit to a number of actions for the year to come to bring down the company's own emissions in different areas. So we did that, and we're actually the first company in the industry to become climate neutral certified last year in April. And now we have done this exercise once again, aggregated all of the data. And actually, it was interesting to see how it affected the increase in volume and growing sales that we had during the year, how it affected our carbon footprint. So we are now on track to be certified again for this year with climate neutral. And we are allowed to talk about it, but it will be announced, I think, on Earth Day together with other companies that also been able to be certified for this year. At a later point, we will also talk about the actions, reduction actions that we have, will be committing to for this year as part of the certification.
Well, you're fortunate that your product isn't a very large product to ship, but you still have to deal with packaging. And that's been a major challenge, protecting the product with packaging that can be recycled or reuse. So that seems like that would be part of it.
We had done some work on that already before we went into this work with climate neutral to go for more environmental friendly cardboard in boxes and also to be able to, in the logistic chain, to be more efficient on the pallets, how to pack products and everything. As one of the actions for last year was actually to get rid of a lot of plastic bags that held cables in our boxes.
Okay.
And we have done that. And now we are going for other actions for this year. And I shouldn't go into detail, but I mean, as I mentioned, that we see that the main part of our emissions come from the production and the manufacturing facilities that we use for when we produce our products. So we will now go into more direct dialogue with our partners on that side and see what we can do in raising the energy efficiency and bringing down the emissions as part of the actions going forward.
Now, being headquartered in Sweden, I don't know what the manufacturer is. Is it similar to the U.S. where a lot of your manufacturing for an electronics product is in Asia, or where is
it? Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In the early days, we had manufacturing here in Sweden, but I think it's it was long before my time when I joined the company. Was moved to Asia. Yes,
right.
So we have a number of partners in different areas of Asia.
Very good. Well, I it's been great getting to know the brand better. I look forward to reviewing the product and myself and in improving the video quality of my webinars and also podcast, the video component of the podcast. So that's great to learn more about you. And Stefan Eriksson, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. Thanks for inviting me.
Stefan Eriksson is Chief Marketing Officer for Confitel in Sweden. You can learn more about his company at confitel.com. We'll put that in the show notes because I'm sure the spelling for those listening may have slipped your mind. So I appreciate.
Yeah, the K is a bit tricky.
it's just a combination of letters that your brain's not immediately used to seeing, but it makes sense once you say it out loud. Well, that wraps up today's show. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Be sure to share, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, and check out all the latest tech news at restechtoday.com. Until next time, please stay safe, stay inspired, and let us know if you have a great story to tell. Residential lighting specialist to Arc Residential Tech. Home automation smart device, smart home or smart house.